I'm going to hand over to Anne of Matt and Anne fame. Matt, that's Matt clapping. I think we could do better than that, people. This is Matt and Anne. Excellent, excellent. Well done. Took a little bit of persuasion, but that was okay. It's okay. And Matt and Anne oversee our compassion ministries, but Anne is also on our pastoral staff. And they are fantastic servants to the vineyard here. They've got a lot to offer in the way that they lead this, with loads of ideas and a real commitment to what we're doing here. I think you'll enjoy what they've got to say. And let me just pray for you, and then I'll hand over the mic. We thank you for Matt and Anne. We thank you for all the people in the Leeds Vineyard who give time and serve the poor and those who need to know more about you and need to have more of you in material and practical ways. And we thank you for all that this church does and the way that people serve you in this way. And I pray that you'll bless Anne now as she brings this issue to our attention and as people share. Would you be here and speak through them to us? May we hear your voice in a new way. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. So we're going to start with something a bit funny. I'll get out of your way. This really amused me. I'm not sure if I meant to find it funny or not, but it did. So I thought I'd share it with you. This is something I found as I was doing some research on this topic, and yeah, just made me chuckle. I think we can learn from things that make us laugh. I don't know what that says about me. Let's move on. So as part of our Love in Action series, we wanted to talk to you about compassion. What's the motive behind what we do? For many of you, this will be something which you're involved in already, which you've heard about, which you're doing, which you're living out, you're demonstrating compassion to those around you, and that's brilliant. That's really exciting. For others, this may be a really difficult topic. Maybe you feel let down, where people haven't really shown you compassion when you thought, you hoped that they would. Maybe you associate this with guilt. Maybe you feel like you should do more. Maybe you just feel trapped by, I should. If only I was more like, if only I could do more. Whatever perspective you come from this morning, my hope is that you will hear what God has to say about compassion. That God will speak to you and that others share their stories, their way of doing this, that you will leave encouraged, able to go and do more, energized, content that you're doing what God has asked you to do and that you shouldn't do anymore. Whatever this looks like, and my hope is that God speaks to you directly and that the stories that I share, that others share, will just be an encouragement to you this morning. And also that God would free you from anything which might be holding you back. If you come bringing guilt, that God would free you of that this morning. So for each of us, compassion looks different. Just like we all look different. There's no real surprises there. It will be influenced by our situations, by our personalities, by the circumstances we find ourselves in, by the resources that we have. And just as art is unique to the artist, compassion is unique to us as individuals. We each bring something different and we each see a different perspective. So we all demonstrate compassion in really, really different ways. And in this community, just in the ways I know about, which won't be everything at all, there are so many different ways this is demonstrated. From people who go the extra mile at work in listening to their colleagues or doing something no one wants to do. No, cleaning the toilets. I don't know what it might be in your workplace. Cooking meals for someone who's had a new baby or someone who's recently bereaved. From accompanying people to hospital appointments where they need some support and encouragement to get there. Being a listening ear, doing things both here in Leeds and things overseas. The creativity and variety in this community is inspiring and encouraging for me as I look around and look for what people are doing. Now, if you've been around for a little while, you might have seen this image before. This is something that we call the vineyard person. And for the family of Vineyard Churches, of which we are one part, this is a simple reminder of our family history, our values, and the things that we seek to do as a church. Now, you'll notice that compassion is one of the legs. This leg. And I see legs as a point of strength. They help you move forward. They help you do something. But to me, they're an active thing. They're a strong thing. They give you foundation. And so for me, when I look at this image, I see compassion as something key in helping us press into what God has for us as a church community and moving forward, taking ground for the kingdom. That's one way of looking at compassion. Another way, I thought I'd try a dictionary. See, what did the dictionary say? And I got this definition. A feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. So I'll read this again, but have a little think. Does this line up with what you think about when you think of the word compassion, or not? Could be either way. A feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. I thought I'd ask some friends what compassion meant, try and see if my understanding was a general understanding. And here are some of their definitions. I've combined them all into this fancy handprint. It wasn't me, it was some online tool. So here is what they said. A complete, genuine and sincere, no strings attached, care and sympathy for another individual and their situation or circumstances. Another one said, a feeling which leads to selfless giving. And putting yourself in someone else's shoes, non-judgmentally, and understanding how they feel, then genuinely supporting them. And I live this one. When your heart absolutely melts for the suffering or hardship of another person and your first instinct is to act. No holds barred, no conditions, just epic heart love. Now, all of those definitions speak to me of a personal emotional response. There is energy here. There's this sense of something deep inside us, seeing that something could be better, something could be different for somebody if we will just act and do something about it to help in some way and to get involved. And that is exciting to me. Scary, but exciting. So let's see what the Bible has to say. Always a good reference point. Now, I really love these verses. For me, they are a huge challenge, but also set a wonderful example of how we can respond to those around us. Matthew 25, verse 40 says this, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And in Matthew 9, verse 3, we read these words describing Jesus. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Simple statements, but the depth behind them is huge. So not an easy example to follow at all. But I wanted to introduce you to some friends of mine this morning who have managed to find their own ways of expressing compassion and who have bravely agreed to share with us this morning. So Gwen and Elaine, could you join me, please? Now, as they come up, Gwen runs our Debt Advice Centre, and Elaine, our Child Contact Centre. And there is more about, I'm not going to go into the detail of all those projects because many of you will have met them before, but there is more about them in these if you want to know more, or even in here. I've got all my leaflets in order this morning about the Debt Advice Centre and the Child Contact Centre. Needless to say that if you know these guys, like I do, you'll see that they do this week in, week out. They have a track record in doing it. So I wanted to ask them a couple of questions. So to start with, is this always easy?
No.
Don't you like that? Thank you. This is not always easy. But for both of you, you do this week in, week out. It is, for both of you currently, this is your paid role, but that is because we identified that you were doing it anyway. You wanted to do it anyway. So the fact that they're paid, let's just put that to one side for a minute. So what motivates you to keep going?
I think for me, God stirs my heart, and he sort of like gives me this really full feeling. But I always think of that song, "Freely you have received, freely give," and so I do it because of that. And I think God's grace. Mm-hmm. We come across people that are very distressed, very anxious, and I just want that for them, for those parents, for those children. I would love God's love to just overcome them and just love them. And in a practical way, I know that there's lots of people praying for us. So it's not just, you know, me or Gwen doing it by ourselves. There's a lot of people around who love what we do, pray for the contact centre and the debt advice centre. And it's just collaborative, so it's just awesome.
Wonderful. And how about you, Gwen?
Similar to Elaine, really. Again, as a follower of Jesus, the love and compassion that you receive from God is given to us to share out to other people. So I had a little peek in my dictionary as well. It was similar, but not quite the same. Compassion was described as showing mercy and kindness. Well, we could all do with a bit of that, couldn't we? I certainly could. So that's my motivation, basically. The Debt Advice Centre is a very, very practical expression of the love of God. It's, you know, the two hands of the gospel. It's a practical solution coupled with the words that Jesus loves you and wants to transform your life. So for me, what motivates people is being able to look into the eyes of people and speak hope and life into some really desperate and messy situations. And And shout wisdom. You know, in Proverbs, it talks about wisdom shouts from the street corners. So our people at head office, of which there are some people here, are very wise people and put together some fantastic debt advice. And my job is to shout wisdom into the lives of these people and to help them in whatever practical ways we can to grasp hold of that wisdom and to run with it. And we genuinely really see lives change and people set debt free and people holding their head up high and just having joy and hope. So that, in a nutshell, is what motivates me.
Wonderful. Isn't that great? Thank you, guys. Let's give them a round of applause, because these guys keep going through thick and thin. Now, another friend of mine, Tim's going to come and share. He has Tim and Naomi have a different way of demonstrating compassion. So let's start with this. Tim, can you tell us who lives in your house?
Yep,
currently.
Me and my wife, our two boys, and soon to be another one. And also a young lad who's 18 lives with us as well.
And this young lad who's 18, what connection does he have with your family?
So we foster and provide supported lodgings to various young people that are leaving care and moving on to independence. So he's been with us for 6 months now.
Isn't that amazing? These two have got two young children, a baby on the way, and so they've opened their doors to invite someone else who needs help into their family. So, Tim, why? Why do you do this?
So you sent me this an email this week, so I had a bit of time to think about it. So the short answer is because God loved me first. That's the short answer. The long answer is because we have a compassion for these people. And when you think about the desperate situation that sometimes they find themselves in or they've been through, it kind of stirs you a bit. So initially that calls you to action, but then you get into it like a couple of years down the line, it's a bit hard. And you're kind of like, oh man, this is tricky. And so I guess what it is the daily going to God saying, actually give me the compassion for these young people who live with us to cope with those often tricky but often fun situations as well.
Isn't that brilliant? Thank you, Tim and Naomi. Again, if that's something you're interested in, adoption or fostering, I'm sure you can talk to those guys more, perhaps after baby number three, or offer them help in any way. Now, we have a story from Molly. Some of you might have noticed Molly's not here. I'm not about to panic. Molly's in Minnesota. But she told me a wonderful story of something that happened to her recently in Headingley, of just her going about her daily life, which is really exciting. So we're going to watch a video of Molly now.
So recently I was in Headingley. I was having not the best day. I had a meeting that I went to and didn't get the result that I was hoping for. So everything was just messed up that day, and I was in a hurry doing errands and realized I'd forgotten to get cash out. So I'd already passed the machines that I would normally get it out from and thought, okay, I'll go to this one. And I saw some people sat on a bench near it and thought, man, they're going to come and ask me for money right when I'm getting it out. I'm going to go anyway because I need to do it. So I did. Sure enough, as I was getting the cash out, here comes a woman up to me asking me for money. And I was in just such a peak of frustration that I just looked at her and shook my head and was like, yeah, and walked away. And she said, it's just I'm a bit hungry. And I kept walking, going on to my errands that I needed to do. And I heard a little thought pass through my head, which I knew was God. And he said, Molly, do you realize that this is an opportunity? And I said, do you know what, God? I do not want opportunities right now, okay? I'm not having a great day. I don't want to do an opportunity. So I kept walking, getting my bits and pieces that I needed. And this is just a matter of moments that this has happened, but God completely melted my heart. And because if people are hungry, that's not something that I can't handle that. That's not okay with me. And so I said, do you know what? I'll go and buy some sandwiches. So I'm talking to God saying, I'm going to get these sandwiches, okay? And they better be there. This lady better be there. This is not a have my heart beat in the right way. Okay, they need to actually be there. And so I went, and sure enough, she was there with the three others. So I was pleased because I had enough food for everybody. And I went up to her and I just said, hey, do you know, I'm really sorry for being rude earlier, and I've just been having a really bad day. Nothing's gone how I wanted it to go. And she was like, oh no, it's fine. You weren't rude. That's completely fine. And I said, well, I just wanted you guys to know, like, I see you guys and I care about you. Got you some sandwiches. So I handed her the sandwiches and they all kind of looked at me and nodded in appreciation. And I just kind of was about to leave it. But this woman that I'd seen before around and chatted to a couple of times before, she tilted her head to the side and looked at me. And she said, you really like your scarves, don't you? And I was like, yeah, yeah, I do. And she was like, reached behind her, took her scarf off and handed it to me. And I was like, no, no, that's yours. That's yours. And she was like, no, it's a gift. And I took it and I said, thank you. And I'm still working with God on what he's doing about this situation in my heart.
Isn't that exciting? It's amazing what God can do in us if we just say yes to him and respond. Now we've got someone else who's about to head off to South Africa in January who's also not here. But I've been tracking people down behind the scenes. And Rob Marshall is away at a wedding this weekend, but he is off on a exciting journey, exciting adventure in January. He is heading to Liv Village in Durban, in South Africa. And he's going to be serving in the music department of the school there. The picture in the middle is the Liv Village site. If you want to know more, I suggest you talk to Rob a different week, because he knows a lot and I know a tiny bit. But he's going because he loves music and he feels God is calling him there. He heard about it at Soul Survivor and he found out more, and he's going to be off in January. Here's a bit more from him. The village consists of children between the age of 4 and 18, all of whom have become orphans for various reasons and therefore don't have parents around in their lives. He says, "Now, not that I could ever compare my life experiences to theirs, but I in some ways understand the feeling of not having your parents around." He's quick to say, "Now, don't get me wrong. I love my mum and dad to bits, but they both lead very busy lifestyles that force me and my siblings to very quickly mature and learn to fend for ourselves. Yes, my parents put a roof over our heads and food in the cupboards, and I'm not complaining, but by year 4, I was walking to and from school by myself and starting to become very mature. So on a small scale, I feel as though I can somewhat sympathise to those who haven't had their parents around for whatever reason." Here's where it gets really good. He says, "If I can use the ache in my heart to help fill the gap in one child's heart, then I know I've done my best, because I went through that painful stage, and through going to Soul Survivor and amazing people, the gap in my heart was filled by God. And now it's my turn to do my best at being one of those amazing people." Rob's taken something that was a challenge in his own life, and now he wants to use that to help others who face challenges that he can relate to. So he will be going off in January, so I would really encourage you to find him over the next few weeks and ask him more, find out how you can support him while he's overseas. I'm sure we will get updates. But one of my questions to you is, is there an ache in your heart? Maybe you can identify it, maybe you can't yet, but start thinking, what might that be? Maybe God's calling you to get involved in using your own experience to help others going through similar things. So we've heard about what some people do, what some people are involved in, but I thought it'd be helpful to hear from those on the receiving end. Now, a lot of these people are quite shy, so again, tracking them down can be challenging, but we have them on video, since technology is working for us. So we have a couple of videos. The first one is of one of Elaine's Child Contact Centre clients. You might have seen this before. It was filmed last year, but it is still a great story of what the contact centre does. And the second is a video from CAP, which came out this week, which you might have seen, which is just wonderful. Now, we partner with CAP to deliver our debt advice centre, so Gwen works very closely alongside CAP head office. It's not one of her clients, but it is a great example of the impact of the work that Gwen and her team do. So let's see these videos.
I'm John Barmont, and I've been using Contact Centre for 15 months now. It's had a massive impact on my life because of Vine. Without Vine, I wouldn't have been able to build a relationship with my son like I have. They've been fantastic. Absolutely great. Call it a happy people, smiling faces, here to help. I couldn't have asked for much better, to be honest with you. Like I say, they've managed to break a barrier with contacts that I lost with my son for over 12 months.
My life changed 4 years ago due to the death of my daughter Sylvia, and 6 weeks later her partner Andrew took his own life. It was close to Christmas. We had to put everything in place, school and nurseries, and bring them back from an entirely different way of life. When they came to me, there was drug addicts on one side and alcoholics on the other. As Christmas drew near, I started to panic and I went to a doorstop lender to borrow £500. It was the wrong thing to do, but at the time it seemed right because I felt that the children had suffered already a big tragedy and I just wanted to make this first Christmas without the parents as painless and happy time for them as I possibly could under the circumstances. I did start to struggle. I was making myself ill. I wasn't capable of sorting it out myself. And the days became darker and the worry became unbelievable. And we'd all end up crying. There were times when I was on my knees praying for a miracle. I then came to know Angela, who was a debt counsellor. I just felt straight away that this was what I needed. They weren't going to pay the debts for me. It was to teach me how to become debt-free. The Christmas hamper. It was lovely. It was just a big shock. And I just burst into tears. It was just such a beautiful expression of love from people. And the children were really, well, they were speechless. And Lily was just, can I eat the chocolate Santa now? It was just magic. It really was a magical Christmas. When we was opening the hamper, Joshua at the time was 11. He just started singing Christmas songs. And it was something he'd not done for a long, long time. And I felt that we were finally putting closure on the dark days. It was from the love and thoughtfulness of strangers who helped us to get over this, and it was just such an experience to see my grandson all smiles, and he was happy that it just changed everything in just 2 minutes. It was just amazing. In April this year, I was baptised a Christian, and it was with God's grace that I became debt-free. And all this came about through camp. I was able to enjoy the children and laugh with them and smile with them. And it was every day was like a new beginning.
What a privilege to be involved in these things. Those are a few stories, and there are many more stories, both of people receiving and of people getting involved and giving of their time and energy. Now, before we finish and pray, let me remind you about love in action, this thing which I introduced last week. Now, this is our chance as a church community to demonstrate compassion to people at Christmas this year, to give some hampers, to give our time, to give our energy, to pray, whatever it is that you might have that you feel that you can give, we would happily find a way for you to give that. There are some clipboards down on the table here at the front of all the things that you can sign up for, and I think you've all had one of these, or there are some more of these around if you want to find out a bit more about the projects and how you might get involved. So I'd encourage you, please do, as part of your response to God's love for you, consider how you might sign up for something this year. Next Sunday is the chance to bring everything back, and I hope that we're going to have a giant pile of beautiful things to give away, to give the best, to give Heinz beans, not Basics beans, to give really thick, warm gloves, not some cheap, flimsy ones, to give the best that we would hope for to those who desperately need to have some practical support but to know God's love. On a purely practical note, If you can label your gifts with which project you signed up for, that would be a great help when we sort out the pile of things, as I'm sure you'll appreciate. So that's going on there. But now, why don't we stand? And let's pray. I think that God's been speaking to you, many of you this morning, through the various stories, through worship, through communion. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I started off reading from Matthew 25, verse 40. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Father, this isn't an easy thing to do, so we pray that you would help us to become better at doing this, at showing compassion to those around us. Would you help us to see people the way that you see them? Would you give us your love for the people we encounter? Give us your understanding and your grace. Father, I pray that right now would you put people on our hearts. Would you show us what it is that you would have us do as we step out and try and be your hands and feet in this world? Help us to know that we are not in this alone, that we do this together. As I've been preparing for today, I felt that there were two particular groups of people who I'd love to pray for. I think there are some people who want to take a bit of a risk and respond to God this morning and say, yes, give me those opportunities like Molly talked about. I feel busy, I feel scared, but yes, God, I'm saying yes, please use me. And I felt that there was another group of people who've been doing this like Gwen and Elaine were talking about, doing this week in and week out, but are currently feeling worn out and exhausted and doubting whether they have the energy to carry on. And we would really love to pray for you. So if you relate to any of those things, I'd love to invite you to come up to the front. And we would love to pray for you. Why don't you come up now? It won't just be you. I think there are others who are hiding currently. The reason I invite you to the front is sometimes taking those steps forward is just helps put a marker in the ground of responding to God. I think there's probably a few more, so we'll just wait for a moment. Gwen and Elaine, can I invite you to join me? I think there might be some others. So if you want to, you can keep coming up. Now, if you are a regular in a small group, lead a small group, I'd love to invite you to come to the front and help me pray for these guys. And could a couple of people gather around the steers and pray for them as well? So if you've come with anything else that you'd like prayer for, then we'd love to do that. Either come to the front or find someone near you who can pray for you. We don't want anyone to leave having wanted to experience God this morning. And if you have children in Vineyard Kids, I'd encourage you to go get them. And if you'd still like to be prayed for, to come back and make sure you don't leave this morning without somebody praying for you. So thank you for visiting the Vineyard this morning. And don't forget to sign up for something at the front if you can. Thank you.